All right. I appreciate you helping the business meeting. That's always a blessing. I believe we are right on the edge of allergy season. We're just talking about going from one thing to another. Get out of flu season and notice the yellow pollen all over everything outside. That always seems to bother a lot of people. And so we're in Judges chapter 10. We're going to read verses 3 through 5 tonight. And I've been looking forward to getting back. Seems like it's been a long time. It's only been a couple of weeks. But getting back into the book of Judges. And the Bible says in Judges chapter 10 and verse 3, it says, "And after him arose Jair, a Gileadite, and judged Israel 22 years. And he had 30 sons that rode on 30 ass colts. And they had 30 cities, which are called Havoth Jair unto this day, which are in the land of Gilead. And Jair died and was buried in Camon." And so we just got a few verses tonight. And we're looking at this judge, the next judge that we come to. I've not been numbering these as far as I'd have to go back and look, but Schofield says he's the eighth judge. But I think we got a little off from that. But Jair, his name rhymes with hair. And it's hard for me to pronounce. It's just hair with a J on it. And so if you're looking at that saying, you know, how do you say that? It rhymes with hair. So Jair is what we're going to, or who we're going to be looking at tonight. He is the successor, I believe, we can gather that from the scripture, of Tola. He comes after Tola. Verse 3 said, "And after him," talking about Tola, "arose Jair." And so he's the one that comes after Tola. We could actually take these two men together, their ministries. As I've studied this out, and I did not realize this to begin with, but actually they complement one another. What one has, the other doesn't have. What one does not have, the other. I believe they would if they had have known one another, I believe they could have been men that could have worked well together. There's a lot of similarities between the two. And if you remember, we studied about Tola just a few weeks ago, but some things we could say about both of them, they both inherited a mess. When they come to power, things were in a bad shape in the land of Israel. Now, during the days of Gideon, things were pretty good. And we studied about that. We spent a lot of time talking about Gideon. But as soon as Gideon died, things began to go bad. Things began to go back to how they were before. If you look at chapter number 8 and verse number 33, look what the Bible says over there. It says, "And it came to pass as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel turned again and went a-whoring after Balaam and made Baal bereath their God." As soon as Gideon died, they went right back to what they'd been doing before, that they'd been delivered from. And then, of course, you remember chapter number 9 is all about Abimelech. Abimelech was Gideon's son by his concubine. He killed all of his brethren. He basically caused a civil war in the land of Israel. So they inherited a bad situation. You know, our politicians today, that's how they like to blame each other. You know, well, we inherited all of this. Well, Tola and Jair could say the same thing. Well, it wasn't perfect when we got into power. Wasn't good when we started judging. Now, the time frame that they judged is very similar. In verse number 2, we find that Tola, the Bible said that he judged Israel 23 years. And in verse number 3, the Bible says that Jair, a Gileadite, he judged Israel 22 years. And so one judged 23 years, one judged 22 years. That's a combined total of 45 years that these two men judged Israel. Neither of these men are notable men. What I mean by that, they're not famous. They're not like Ehud. They're not like Gideon. We've all heard of Gideon. They're not like Samson. I mean, some of you have read your Bible through several times. Who's ever paid very much attention to Tola? Who's ever paid much attention to Jair? I mean, there's only three verses says anything about him here. And so these are not famous men. These are men that a lot of people have never even heard of. It would be easy to pass over them. It would be easy to say, well, they're not important. It would be easy to criticize them. Now, J. Vernon McGee, he's hard on them. He said, and I've already pointed this out, but he said about Tola, verse number 2, that he judged, died, and was buried, and that's all he ever done. He was pretty hard on him. He basically said Tola didn't do anything worth anything. And then I got to reading what he said about Jair, and is even worse about him. J. Vernon McGee said that Jair was just this judge that bought his boys a bunch of sports cars, donkeys. See, that was what the royalty, you know, that was the Porsche of their day. He said that all he did was bought his sons a bunch of, and you know that in the way he described it, that all they ever done was just zoomed around Gilead on their donkeys, and they never done anything worth anything. That's what he said about it. But I got to looking at that. I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's right. I don't think that's right about Tola. And we made the case for Tola being a good man. He has some great lessons for us. And I believe that Jair, the same way, has some great lessons for us. Now, Jair's name means this, the enlightener. Now, if you have a name like that, you ought to be able to enlighten some people on some things. And I believe that we can find that in these few little verses that we have. A man with a name enlightened. What can we learn from this man named Jair? Now, we can learn some things. Just think about this. What if you're not a Gideon? What if you are not the strongest? You're not the bravest? You're not the fiercest warrior that ever was. What if you're not a Gideon? Well, you'll learn something from Jair. What if you are not physically visited and called by the Lord himself like Gideon was? I mean, the angel of the Lord came to Gideon. Doesn't say that about Jair. But the Lord used Jair. I know a lot of people. I don't know anybody that said the Lord came to me. You know, we might can associate with Jair more than Gideon even. What if you're living in times where revival is not taking place? Would that speak to us? I believe it could. What if you are living in times where all of society around you is in a great mess? It's not your fault. Every man is doing what is right in his own eyes. Well, look at Jair. That's how it was when he was living. What if you're not a great prophet? You're not a priest? You're not a king or anything like that? What if nobody even knows what your name is? Well, there's some lessons from Jair. And so that's what we're going to look at tonight. There's three things I want to point out about Jair that we're going to learn. The enlightener. He did have talents. He did use what he had in the service of God. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. And I believe we can learn some good things from the life of Jair. Number one, Jair was a multiplying man. Did you catch that in verse number four? Verse 3 said, and after him arose Jair, a Gileadite, and judged Israel 22 years, and he had 30 sons. He's a multiplying man. The Bible says he had 30 sons. What can we say about him? Well, he had 30 sons. Man, do you know anybody's got 30 sons? I'm sure he had multiple wives. That was very common in those days. But the Bible is very specific about the sons, the asses, and the cities. There's 30, 30, 30 mentioned in this passage of Scripture. The Bible says that he had 30 sons. He was fruitful in the physical sense. That God told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Maybe somebody joked and told Jer, you know, you don't have to do that all by yourself. 30 sons, that's a big family. I'm sure there were some daughters mixed in there that maybe is not mentioned. But I don't know. I think a lot of times we wouldn't even consider a simple thing like having children as fulfilling God's will. But God made us to procreate. God made us to be fruitful. We're to be fruitful physically. We're definitely to be fruitful spiritually speaking. See, God has called us to be multipliers as well. And Jair, what we learn about him, he was a multiplier. He was fruitful. He had 30 sons. Now, I'm sure in his life there were times when he thought to himself, what have I done? You know, when he had 6 sons that were between 2 and 3 years old. And he said, boy, I should have bought stock in Pampers. You know. And when he had 9 sons and all of these at the same time, he probably had about 9 or 10 sons that were between 7 and 9 years old. Can you imagine? If that was me, that would mean that we would have 36 bicycles at our house. And 2 of them work. And the camels backed over half of them, and the rest of them don't have any air in the tires. And, you know, being a dad, it's not the easiest job in the world. He had all these children. He probably had at least at any given time 10 or 12 young teenage boys, and they all knew more than he did. See, that we're talking about real life now. He had several that would come to the age at the same time, 18, 21, 25 years old. They're ready for their new donkey, and them things are not cheap. So here's a fruitful man. What can we learn about him? He is a multiplying man. There's probably times in his life where he questioned God's will for his life. What am I doing? Or maybe he thought that God had a warped sense of humor. You ever thought that in your life? Oh my, what is the Lord doing to me? What is happening in my life? But I won't say this tonight. He must have done something right. Can you imagine raising children in Jair's day? Where everybody was doing what was right in their own eyes. And morally speaking, everybody, you know, they thought everything was all right. That's the kind of society that he lived in and raised these sons in. But here's what I learned from the Bible. Not one negative thing is said about all these sons. Gideon's sons all killed each other. One of them killed the rest of them. There's no civil war among these sons. Evidently, they work together, labor together, minister together. We don't read about jealousy among them, infighting. We don't read about immorality. We don't read about any scandals like Samuel's sons, Hophni and Phinehas. I mean, there's a lot of sons in the Bible that didn't turn out so good. But here's a man, he's got 30 sons. And the Bible says nothing negative about them. I think that's a positive thing. I think we can say about Jair that he had to be a good dad. He had to be a good father. There is a spiritual application to this. Study John chapter number 15 where Jesus talks about the fruit and the vine. The Lord Jesus said about us, verse number 8, herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. The Lord has called us to be multiplying men and women. The Lord has ordained, he's called us that we would go and be fruitful and multiply. And so on that aspect, we can be like Jair. He had 30 sons. The Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's how we multiply. And so he was a multiplying man. Number two tonight, I notice this about him. He was a mirror man. I'll explain what I mean by that. Look what the Bible says. And he had 30 sons that rode on 30 ass colts. All of them did the same thing. And I believe all of them did the same thing that he did. I believe he was a mirror man. His sons was a reflection of him. Now, I've studied and studied about this, and nothing is in the Bible by coincidence. Everything is there for a purpose. And I've come across, especially in the book of Judges, this number 30. It comes up over and over and over again. And here, three times. 30 in the Bible. And we'll probably look at that a little bit later on. But I just want to give you some preliminary things about the number 30. Because numbers do mean something in the Bible. And so 30 comes up. He had 30 sons. These 30 sons rode on 30 ass colts. 30 in the Bible was the age that a man could begin work in the temple. If he was a Levite, he could not begin in the work of the Lord until he was 30, from 30 to 50 years old. Numbers chapter 4 and verse number 3. 30 was how old the Lord Jesus Christ was when he began his public ministry. The Bible says in Luke chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, and he began to be about 30 years old. You think we've got it wrong sometimes in our society where we are pushing our 17, our 18-year-olds out and, you know, expecting them, you know, you got a career and decide. And, well, in the Bible, they didn't really begin anything serious till they were 30 years old. Now, some of you parents probably don't want me telling that. But I'd say today we're closer to that than we were in the 1960s. I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm just saying in the Bible, the Lord Jesus started his public ministry. Joseph stood before Pharaoh, Genesis chapter 41 and verse number 6. The Bible said that Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. All that other time in his life leading up to that point, he's 30 years old. That's when a lot had went into that, but that's where he begins to become great in the land. The New Testament tells us that Judas Iscariot sold the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Matthew 26, verse number 15. That is associated with the blood money. It's actually called blood money. It is a number of redemption in the Bible. The lunar calendar is based on 30 days. The solar calendar is not. But the lunar calendar is 30 days. The Jewish calendar goes 30 days. And their calendar, the reason it's different is because it's a lunar, ours solar. So we have different days in the calendars. But think about all of that. Think about this. His name means the enlightener. The Lord Jesus, Jair is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ came to bring light to this world. In fact, the Bible said in John 1 and 9 about the Lord Jesus that he was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And we are to be reflections of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to reflect his life in our lives. The Lord Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem. What did he ride into Jerusalem on? Triumphal entry. Same thing these young men were riding on. See, I'm saying that Jair was a mirror man. He raised some sons that mirrored the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. What we know, what little we know about him is that they rode, the Bible said, on 30 ass colts. The Lord Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a colt, the foal of an ass, Zechariah 9:9. A colt is just, it's a donkey is what it is. Now, we might think about a king riding on a horse. But in Bible times, the donkey was what royalty rode on. Maybe that was like having a little sports car. I don't know. You and I might think about riding on a donkey as being silly. But in Bible days, that's what the kings rode on. They rode on a donkey. An ass, the foal of a colt, the 30 ass colts. That's donkeys, little donkeys, is what that's talking about. Royalty rode on it. And when the king comes in war, he rides a horse. But in the Bible, when the king comes on a donkey, he comes in peace. The Lord Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem. He came to bring peace. Now he'll come back the second time riding on a horse at the second coming. That's a time of war. But the first time was a message of peace. He came to reconcile the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Matthew 21:5, the Bible said this, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass." So his sons were a reflection of the Father. And you and I, as the sons of the Lord, as the sons of God, we're to be a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to be like Him. We are to mirror His life. He's the Son, the S-O-N. We're to be like the moon. We're to reflect. The moon does not have its own light. It just reflects the light of the sun. We're to reflect the light of the Lord Jesus Christ because Romans 8:17, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ." I believe their message, the Bible doesn't say about Jair. There's no war. There's no enemy mentioned here. I believe their method and their message was one of peace. Why do they have to be successful to be involved in a war? Isn't it good when we have leaders that take us through peaceful times? And so we don't read about the Philistines and the Amalekites and all like that. We just read that Jair, the enlightener, he judged and his sons judged with him and ruled with him. Churches today are killing themselves trying to be new. Trying to be novel, trying to be different from everybody else by being the same. Have you ever noticed that? A lot of churches trying to jump on the newest thing bandwagon. You know, go to church and have a coffee shop in the church. Go to church and have a gym and have a stage and have a band and have all these things. Let's be different. But they're being different by all being the same. But here's what I notice about Jair. He didn't try to be different. All his sons, it looks like, are just the same. He had 30 sons. They rode on 30 ass colts. Why are we killing ourselves trying to be different? Let's kill ourselves trying to be more like Jesus. Jesus rode on a donkey. These sons rode on a donkey. They were a reflection of their father. Their father was the enlightener. There's a lot of good things we could say about that. It would help churches in this day and time just to go back to being like Jesus. And that's why I say that Jair was a mirror man. He had 30 sons. He's a multiplier. That rode on 30 ass colts. He's a mirror, a reflection. And they had 30 cities. Now, he was a managing man. A managing man. To have 30 cities. And as I've studied about this, the verse number 4, which are called Havoth Jair, they were just all called after Jair. He wasn't even unique in naming the cities different names. He just named them all the same. And his sons ruled over these cities. And there was 30 of them. He was a managing man. Here's what I mean by that. 30 in the Bible is also the first number that is mentioned in the parable in Mark chapter number 4 of the seed and the sower. The number 30 is mentioned in connection with the good ground. Mark chapter 4 and verse 8, another fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. He was a fruitful man. I believe that what we would associate Jair with being, the Bible says he's a judge, but you know, a lot of towns now, a lot of cities, they have city managers. I believe that's the kind of individual that Jair was. It doesn't say he was a warrior. It doesn't even say that he was a defender like Tola was. But evidently he was a good manager. What I mean by that, a good steward. God calls us to be good stewards. Moreover, in stewards, it is required that a man be found faithful. He's not a warrior. He's not a prophet. He's not even a dynamic leader or anything like that. If we could go back and really look at Jair, he's probably a nerd. He's probably a pencil pusher. He was probably, if he lived now, he would know all about computers and how they work, and he'd have the latest smartphone. He was a bean counter. And what did Jair do anyway? He took one successful model and he made another one, and he made another one, and he took these sons and he put them all in the same vehicle. He put them all in the same occupation, and he was successful in one and successful in one. He was in manufacturing. You say, oh, the Lord can't use me as a missionary. I'm not a great preacher. I don't believe Jair was a great preacher, but he had some gifts. He could multiply. And he could model. And he was a good manager, and he could be successful in this city. And then he had a son over there and a son over there. Do you see how the Lord could use that? Missionaries today, pastors today, churches today, just do what works. Follow God's word. What do we expect our missionaries to do? Go over there and do what we're doing here. If we're doing it right, do it over there. You see, you find that model in the Bible. Now, there's only one Gideon. There's only one Samson. There's only one David, and there's only one Solomon, and you know, these great men of the Bible. There's only one prophet Jeremiah. There's only one Isaiah. I'm telling you, there's a lot of Tolas. There's a lot of Jairs. There's a lot of people that you've never heard of, but God is able to use them because they are not a Gideon. They're not a Samson. Samson had a lot of baggage. I believe the Lord would rather, I'd rather have a church full of Jairs than I would. Boy, Samson, you'd have to kick him out of church every 6 months. Yeah, he's great to have around, but man, when we get to Samson, you're going to see he had a lot of problems. Jair, as far as I can see, he doesn't have any problems. What I'm saying tonight, I'm getting ready to close. In the service of the Lord, it takes all kinds. It takes all kinds of people. This ought to encourage us. You study in the Bible, Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. I'm not going to turn over there, but it's talking about the service of the Lord. What does it take to serve the Lord? And it is basically saying over there, it takes all kinds of people. Do you know the word ministry? Ministry. What is ministry? We think, well, ministry is the missionary. Ministry is that's what the preacher does. Ministry is what all of us can do. Some better than others. Ministry is the same word as ministration, which is the same word as administration. Administration is people that are good at paperwork. They're good at keeping records. We have some people in this church. They are very, very gifted administrators. You know, the Lord uses people like that. He's got something for them to do. Now, Kim will be the first to tell you, that is not my gift. Paperwork, and some people are just good at the little details like that, and some people are not. It takes all kinds. I thank the Lord for Kim is that kind of person. I'm not. If it wasn't for her, I don't know that I would check the mail once a week. To me, would be fine. She's not like that. She's like my grandparents. As soon as it goes up, she's chasing them up the road. I'll see what he put in the mailbox. It might be something important. Me? I doubt it. Just let it all set in there till the end of the week and get it at one time and save all that trouble. Maybe get it then. See, but some of you, that would horrify you. But see, the Lord uses different people, different ways. He's got something for us to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 5. The Bible said, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Same Lord. He's got something for all of us. We do things a little differently, but God can use different people, different ways. I think Jair was probably, he was probably an accountant or something like that. The Lord used him, used his gifts, used his talents, used his fruit. And so here's somebody else that come along just like Tola, stood in the gap for a little while. See, there's long periods in the Bible between revivals and great awakenings. Somebody has got to stand in the gap during those times. It might be our time. We might get in on something like that. But it might be our time to stand in the gap and be the peace between what's been in the past, what's to come in the future. Somebody's got to be there. That's what I see in these men that we've never heard of. 22 years here, 23 years there. God use that as necessary. Now, Lord willing, next time we'll move along a little bit. I'm enjoying these I've never heard of before. I hope you're getting something out of it as well. So we'll close with that tonight. Jair means the enlightener is what that means. And so I hope that'll be some enlightenment for us. And I appreciate you coming. I appreciate your good attention tonight. And so we'll close.